The original I, the original, what the original say, the original word. Oh, it's what I believe. Oh, the Son of Man, the seven sea, the original. God's attributes were manifested to his bride in this last day. We have caught the revelation by the last prophet's message. Then we know who we are and what we are raised up for. Praise the Lord for the original. Hallelujah, the original, ah. Oh, glory, the original, oh, the original, say, the original word is what I believe, oh, the Son of Man, the seven seas, ah. Oh, the original. We are the Word made flesh today. This is what the Scriptures say. And our names sing with him, redeemed. Oh, yes, we are the anointed and inspired by our God. Oh, the original. Hallelujah. Our eyes of understanding, he has opened up at last, and sweet victory is ours, who were chained down in the past. True jubilee has sounded, and we have responded to our goal. Oh, the original, oh, what I believe, oh, the Son of Man, the seven, oh, the seven sea, original life, oh, the original sea. We are called unto adoption, full authority and power. Gentile day, saints will wake and join us for translation in this hour. Gentile days will be over. Glory, hallelujah, to our God. Oh, the original, the original, the original sin. Seven cities and
hills. Since let's sing one more song, let's sing that song. I bless your name, I bless your name. Just want to welcome Brother Wilmore, Sister Julie back from their good journey away. So may the Lord be with them. Brother Peter, Sister Di, we do welcome you as well. Nice to see you once again. Saints from Banbridge, thanks for coming. It's good to support on a Saturday night. Now, there's nothing worse when you're coming in the car on a Saturday as a visiting minister and the telephone calls start to come. And the text messages, not going to be able to make it, not going to be able to make it. And you're just picturing getting there and the, half the people aren't there. But still, like we're saying, as long as the Lord is there,
amen,
we've come to fellowship with Him.
Glory.
You know, it's lovely to fellowship with one another, but you want to fellowship with Him. So amen, let's sing this song. Brother Alan, we really do welcome you this evening, bro. May the Lord be with you as well. It's nice to see you once again. I'm sure the saints remember Brother Alan the year before last.
Amen.
It was a real blessing when he was here last time. And Sister Julia, it's nice to see her again. May the Lord grant you liberty tonight, brother. Please take your liberty in the house of the Lord. We're not in a hurry to go anywhere tonight. Let the Lord's will be done. Let's sing the song that we hand over to Brother Alan in Jesus' name.
In prisoner's chains,
with bleeding stripes,
Paul and Silas, let's pray that night. Oh, they prayed. And in their bed, they began to sing. Chains were loosed, and they were. Oh, they sang, I bless. Oh, hallelujah, I bless. Oh, glory, I give. Some midnight hour, if you find, you in a prison in your mind. Reach out and praise. Oh, defy those chains. Oh, they will fall. I bless your name, hallelujah, I bless, oh glory, I give you all, I give you praise, you are the Lord, the truth and the way.
Bless you, saints. I'll not leave you standing too long, but it's a real privilege and a real honor to be back with Pastor Andrew. He's very familiar at the church back home at Halifax. Almost everyone listens to the messages which go up on the internet. We love his ministry. We have confidence in his ministry in Halifax, and we're very happy that people would share the blessings that the services which have gone to the internet. Brother, is that iPad coming up or is it staying there? Amen. Just a few technical things going on. Saints, just be seated a moment that you can be relaxed. I'm very relaxed. Amen. There's one thing that I've learned since I've been traveling now, feeling that call to the mission field, that how much it is that God's grace, and there's appointed times, there's appointed seasons, and when them seasons come around, all we have to be is in the right place at the right time, and God turns up. Amen. 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 It's as simple as that. And we've been faithful as a bride to stay with this message now for 50 years plus, since 63. And we've gone into a jubilee season, and God's about to do, and he's doing the same things as what he did with the prophet around the world. Amen. It's something that I know from personal experience. I'm seeing the same pillar of fire visit the church, do the same things. I've seen thousands of miracles without exaggeration, most of them on video. And I'm finding that it's absolutely nothing to do with what the church is doing, how much the church is fasting, how much the church is seeking the Lord. But a season has come around, and God himself, the pillar of fire, is visiting the church. Amen. Amen. I believe that when Brother Branham, he went and he placed the church ages, amen, he looked for a certain condition, or he looked for something similar. He had to have an absolute to measure to. Amen. And he looked for that, and that absolute was the ministry of the Apostle Paul, with the signs, the wonders, and the same gospel which Paul preached. And leaning away from denomination. So he looked for that. And he looked for that condition in each age to be manifested, and a man that was the closest to that, and that's how he placed the church age messengers. No matter how we try, or no matter how much we desire the pillar of fire and the promised things of the spoken word manifestation to visit the church of the living God, there has to be certain things in place before that can happen. And Brother Branham clearly placed that as a squeeze time. So I believe that we've entered into a condition now, as Brother Andrew was preaching not too long ago about the judgments on Wall Street, that everything is pointing to a soon coming economic collapse throughout the world, which will produce that squeeze condition. And once that squeeze condition is here, everything that the prophet has said, there is nothing more that we're waiting for the manifestation of that spoken word. So we're looking for a condition of desperation, and we're looking for a condition where all the crutches that we have been leaning on have gone. Amen. You might lean on your bank account, but one day you're going to wake up and you're going to find that your bank account's gone, and that squeeze condition is now here on planet Earth. And that people will turn their attention towards God. No matter how much, amen,
We want then things to manifest in the church of the living God. And I believe that you can press in on a Friday night. I believe you can press in on a Saturday night. I believe that the believers can pray and fast and God will visit the church. But it will only be temporal till that condition comes.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Where we're completely leaning and trusting the Lord and we have nothing else. So we have an absolute condition. No matter how much we've got the wonderful hidden mystery truths of the Bible. And no matter how much we preach the word of the living God and we reveal them mystery truths, we're hanging on in them as a promise for something to come into manifestation. Amen. It did the absolute same thing on your PowerPoint. It changed red. The letters changed red. Amen. So I take it as a sign. We know that the words in the Bible, when they're read, that it's the voice of the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to us. Now, Brother Andrew will give testimony on the PowerPoint, or the words are black. But when they go to the iPad and they travel through the heavenlies, they turn red. So I believe, and I'm trusting tonight as the words travel through the heavenlies, that you'll receive it as the voice of Jesus Christ speaking to you. So I've had something upon my heart, just like every believer who's been longing and holding fast. Not getting fanatical, but knowing that certain things have to be in place. And we're given as much warning to say that they're on planet Earth now, suddenly to be throughout the globe. And no one's going to escape it. But there's places on Earth, and there's believers on Earth, that if you went to them and you preached the squeeze, they wouldn't know what you're talking about. They couldn't identify that there is a squeeze coming, because that's the condition that they're living now. When you say that you're going to wake up and you're going to have no bank account, they have no bank account. When they say you're going to wake up and there's going to be no supermarkets and there's going to be no food, they wake up and there's no supermarkets and there's no food. Amen.
Amen.
So you go and preach this coming squeeze, and no one's shaking, no one's trembling. They're staying in church as long as possible. They're praising God as much as possible. And the same pillar of fire is visiting them the same way it visited Brother Branham. So it's going to take a certain condition where all the props are pulled away. Amen. To produce it. And I'm thankful for that. So by God's grace, I'm looking at the poorest countries in the world. And to go, because I don't know, I'm just one of them people who can't wait. Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I'm not very good at waiting. I'm not very patient. If somebody says, sit down here, the man will be coming through the door shortly with the food. I'll be standing outside the door because I can't wait for the food to come. So by God's grace, I've been visiting some of the poorest countries that are known. And I'm looking forward to going to India. I've just come back from Malawi. And I can testify without a single shadow of a doubt in my mind that them promises, that every promise that is given to the bride is surely here, and it's beyond anything, and it surpasses anything that has ever gone before. Amen. Now this is going off my notes a little bit, but just to drop something in. When Moses was about to go off the scene, And he knew he was going to die. I think it's Deuteronomy 11. I'm not too sure. This is off my notes, but if you want to find the specific scripture, I'll give it you. But the children of Israel was about to enter into the promises of God. And Moses didn't want them getting discouraged because the journey had been difficult and there were still difficulties to go. Amen. And he wanted them to be really clear, and he really wanted them to have an expectation about what was just about to take place. He wanted them to clearly know about the promises that was laying ahead of them. That there would be no confusion. And Moses said to the children of Israel, he said that the land that you're about to enter into, it is not like the land of Egypt. He wanted them to clearly know, amen, that whatever they saw down in Egypt, that the land that they was going to enter into was going to be nothing like that. It was going to be far more glorious, far more beyond anything that they could ever imagine. And that's what I'm about to say to you. And that's the promise that the prophet of God left us. He said, you've come out of 2,000 years of denomination. Glory. And whatever you saw God manifest and God do in denomination, forget about it. Yeah. You're looking at the wrong thing. Hallelujah. It's beyond that. Yes. There isn't a comparison. He said down in Egypt. Hallelujah. When you went down to Egypt, he said, if you wanted to water your crops, you had to go to broken cisterns. And you had to water your crops from broken cisterns. You had to go to Bible school. There was no hope. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He said, and you had to toil. And you had to labor. And it was a flat land, was Egypt. Amen. There was no expectation. Brother Andrew, there was no promise of a super anointing on the seventh step. Hallelujah. Amen. Brother, that's not a mystery to the bride of Jesus Christ, because we've had one man stand on that seventh step. Hallelujah. Under a super anointing. Amen. And what did it produce? Christ in flesh. Amen. That's the only thing that Christ can return back to, is Christ in flesh. The Word made flesh. Amen. That's what it produced. Humility. It was flat. On there was no more climbing. There was no more under a manager anointing, try to lift yourself above your brother, lift yourself above your sister. But that seventh step was level. Amen. Amen. There was no big you. Amen. A little me. And there was no big me. A little you. It was level. Hallelujah. Brother Branham produced that. He never exalted himself. He esteemed his brothers higher than himself. There was nothing. The greatest thing that the prophet was known for was his humility. Why? Because he made it all the way to that super anointing on the seventh step. People are looking for another Pentecost. People are looking for another Azusa Street. And Brother Branham, he said, it's not going to be anything like you've seen before. It will be so humble that you will bypass it. Brother, that prophet got back. Give me a little bit more volume. That prophet got back to a condition. I do nothing unless the Father shows me. And the bride of Christ won't move until she has, thus saith the Lord. Down in Egypt. Amen. It was nothing like that. Amen. And that's... when Brother Branham, when Moses pointed to his children, and just like Brother Branham, he says, it's nothing like denomination. Be so humble that you'll miss it. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They're expecting, brother, it'll be all that, but beyond. Amen. But it won't be flesh, as in the man-age anointing, the man of power for the hour. Amen. The man of signs, the man of miracles, the man with the healing anointing. Flesh won't be seen because it won't be anything like that. It will be people who can just give glory and honor to the Lord Jesus Christ. Brother, that's the super anointing effects. Amen. Brother, get into that position. Amen. Where I see my brother in the church where he has a calling on his life, and I'm doing everything in my power to help that brother, amen, and help that sister achieve and go forward with God rather than trying to project myself above somebody else. Brother, you're not under that super anointing. You're not under that eagle anointing. You need to keep climbing, and you need to keep climbing, and you need to keep climbing, because it's not that. Amen. He said in the land of Egypt you had to irrigate and water your crops. But he said when you get into that promised land, he wanted to make them a clear distinction. He said it will rain from heaven. Amen. Amen. He said the rain will directly come down from heaven. Amen. Amen. Brother, you won't have to educate them into it. Amen. Amen. But God Himself will rain His revelation down upon His bride. Amen. And that's what we're moving into. And that's what the prophet... I can't give you a revelation. Amen. But I'm not going to send you to Bible school. I'm going to send you down to get down on your knees and pray and fast, and the rain will come down from heaven. Amen. Amen. I'm drifting off a little bit. I don't want to go into Elijah, a man who can make it rain. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Oh, let me just drop a few of them things in. That's a teaching on the former and latter rain, and Brother Branham fulfilled both. Amen. Because rain... type in typology in the Bible types out doctrine. God's doctrine will fall from heaven as rain. Amen. Hallelujah. People are looking for a latter rain outpouring, and they think it's going to be another Azusa Street, where we know that the true outpouring of the Holy Spirit is a stimulation of revelation of the Word of God. Amen. So it's not going to be anything like what's ever gone on before, my brother and my sister. Amen. Let me tie this up and finish before I move into my subject. I was just waiting for this to come up. Amen. Amen. No Bible schools. This man stood at the pulpit. Amen. Speaking, be it by notes, inspired notes or whatever, but speaking the word of God directly given to them by inspiration from the Almighty of God. And brother and sister, it is up to you to receive it by inspiration too. Amen. Amen. You've got to play your part. I'm sure there's many ministers in this room. Pastor Tommy, they'll tell you that they have to wait on God for an inspiration from the Almighty. And they've got to get themselves in a position where they can hear that inspiration. And I believe that that's the condition we must come into church as well. Amen. If it come by inspiration, then it's got to be received by inspiration. If a pastor has shown you that he's gone into his office to wait on God before the service, then you should have a quiet time before the service and settle the things. Because we know that that message cannot affect the bride of Jesus Christ unless it comes by inspiration and in due season. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, in 19... you've just pulled me right off my notes. In 1956, there was another Elijah on the scene. And in 1956, he said, the revival's over. And we had and when Elijah was on the scene, brother, he preached to Jezebel. He preached to the children of Israel. And they wouldn't respond. They wouldn't come out of their idolatry. And he said to them, there will be no rain till I call for it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Right. The same Elijah in our day. Amen. Because they would not. Amen. Respond to the word of God. They would not come away from Jezebel and Jezebel's prophets. Amen. He stopped the revival. And he said there will be no more revival. And then Brother Branham the Inner Veil, the message in the Inner Veil, I think it is. And he was troubled by that. Then the Lord showed him the vision of the angel fishing. And he showed him the third pool ministry. And he showed him that little room of missing limbs coming. Amen. And no matter how Jezebel and how Jezebel's prophets, amen, tried to produce that rain that was promised to come, amen, it only could come by Elijah. Elijah said, I am the only one that can bring that rain. Amen. Is that not so? Amen. Amen. As much as they go to the Bible schools, as much as they look into the book of Revelation, that inner mystery could only come by one man. Amen. Amen. Them seven seals. Brother, he teaches the former rain. And the former rain, he said, was a planting, but there had to be a latter rain. And that's what the children of Israel was waiting for. Without the latter rain, the crops can't come into maturity. They can't grow.
Amen.
Is that not right?
Amen.
Amen. So they had to wait for that latter rain. Amen. Brother, I'll teach that another time, or Brother Andrew can teach it. I've left enough foundation in that one. But I'm telling you, that revival can only come by one man's voice. And that voice was Elijah. Amen. And the waiting in denominations for this latter rain outpouring. And this latter rain outpouring. Amen. And in Deuteronomy, it said, when you enter into that land and the rain comes from heaven. Brother, it wasn't like denominations where you could have a program. And in a program, you could produce something. Amen. You could water the crops yourself, or you could get another program, or you could do this program. But when they come out, amen, of Egypt, and they went into the promised land, no program would ever work. No irrigation system would ever work. They had to solely and utterly depend on the living God to water them crops. It's good that we don't have to toil for revelation. It's good we don't have to toil for experience. Amen. But there was a condition given that you would love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy might and with all thy strength. And as long as you was in love with Jesus Christ and not in love with the idols of the world and this idol and that idol, amen, God would water the crops. God would send the revelation. Brother, there's a fountain from heaven, and on some believers it's this raining, and 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 there's other people that still have the idols. And they can't get it. Why? Because God laid a condition that we had to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our might and all our strength. Brother, we're not telling you to come to church. And sister, we're not telling you to come to church. We're telling you to love Jesus. We're telling you to get a personal relationship with Jesus. Amen. If you've got a personal relationship with Jesus, you want to be where Jesus' people is. You want to be where Jesus is. Amen. Brother, we won't have to give you a revelation. You'll be just walking in the inspiration of God Almighty night and day. There's many distractions. Amen. But the consecration is where your heart is longing, where your mind is, where your focus is. I'm focusing on the Lord. And imagine Brother Rob could be at work on a dump truck or laying bricks or plastering, but because he's thinking of the Lord, his mind's elsewhere. Amen. One man's looking at something and Rod's getting inspiration on something else. That's what I'm talking about. That's the consecration. Amen. You're in communion with God. You're praying and you're talking to God. Amen. Brother, it's not dragging people to a prayer meeting. Amen. You're in that state of condition all the time. Because why? Because you love Jesus. Hallelujah. Simple. Right. Restore unto you your first love. Right. Amen. And the rain falls. Amen. So, you know, one time I wondered, amen, how could Brother Andrew continuously could just keep pouring out revelation and not struggling for a message. Sometimes the body needs rest and we've got to be wise. The voice needs rest. But I don't find that he has a lack of revelation. And that's his gifting teaching. Amen. Maybe your gifting's different, so you're going to manifest it in a different way. You'll constantly flow in that experience with God. Amen. But it's a dependency. You can't fake it. In denomination, you could go along with the program and knock on doors, hang out leaflets, bring friends to church, this, that, and the other. Everyone can do that. You could teach baboons to do that. Train them up. Chimpanzees can make tea. I'm quite sure they can hand tracts out, which is good. Don't get me wrong. But what I'm saying is that there has to be a distinction. Amen. Something beyond that. And you can't hide your personal experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. You either have one or you don't have one. We stand at the pulpit and you don't hide. With all due respect, you don't hide. Let me tell you something about Satan. Satan's biggest mistake, amen, is that he thought that he could have an hiding place from the Lord. Amen. Satan had all 9 gifts of the Spirit. He had, amen, a great understanding of the Bible. Amen. But with all the experience that he was walking in, he didn't know that there wasn't a hiding place from God. So no matter what Satan was trying to do, God just looked straight to his motives and the objectives of his heart. Amen. And he couldn't hide. There's no hiding place. That you can. Satan thought that there was a hiding place. He thought he could come to church and fake it. Amen. And just be nice with the believers. Sing good songs. There is no hiding place from the living God. Amen. So you just might as well get real. Amen. With the Lord. Hallelujah. Because he knows if he's in your heart or not. The Bible says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So if you're not loving the Lord with all thy heart, he knows it because that's what he wants. You know, Elijah, he came not to restore us back to the information that Paul had, it restored us back to a heart condition. That message was gonna have such an effect in our lives that it was gonna transform, amen, the very inner workings of our motives and our objectives was gonna get all cleaned up and washed out. That it's a hard condition that this message brought us back to. Amen. Okay, we have the divine mystery truths, but a man can stand at the pulpit and he can preach them divine mystery truths, but have a wrong heart condition. Amen. So the effects of this message is what we're looking for a manifestation of is in the heart. That we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, with all our might, with all our strength. Amen. And we have assistance. It's called the squeeze. Amen. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be afraid of. Amen. We're just asking people at times who are sat on the fence to get off the fence and give them a warning. Amen. That there is, without a shadow of a doubt, a coming judgment. Amen. And flee the wrath to come. Let me start. What? Oh my goodness. I've gone on 40 minutes and not gone to one scripture yet. I'm not in Africa. Or am I in Africa? Amen. Amen. I thank the Lord. Hallelujah. I really do feel that it's important that I bring something along the lines of what is on my notes. Amen. But there's so many wonderful things that I believe that we're coming to a time where, brother, I tell you, I want to stand on that seventh step. And I know when I'm stood on that seventh step, what that super anointing will do. It won't produce anything that has gone on before. Because it never did in Brother Branham's life. Amen. Listen, let me, before I go on, amen, get to my notes. Before Elijah, you know, there was a former rain fell, then there was a latter rain fell. The children of Israel had been warned. Elijah had gone down to them. Elijah had warned them. And Elijah had tried to turn the hearts of the Jezebel. Amen. And warned them. And they just kept going on, and they kept going on, and they kept going on, and they kept going on. There was jumping, there was dancing, there was screaming, there was doing exactly the same thing, amen, as a true believer. And Elijah, and there was having the same, almost identical signs, wonders, and miracles was going on. And Elijah says, enough's enough, it's stopping now, bang. And every account that I read in 1956, great revivalists in America that was going into hospitals and every single person in that ward was getting healed. He said, it stopped like that. It never ever happened again. Because God says, no, you've gone on enough. You're not listening to that voice. And so really, in all due respect, and I'm probably, I don't know, I'm reasonably qualified. Jack Cole's a friend of mine. And I know many of the people in the charismatic, and they're all crying for it. They're all looking for it. They all say that it's coming. They all say it's going to happen. Amen. But it stopped. And it will never happen. Amen. But something will, you know, signs, wonders, healing, miracles, and gifts of the Spirit will take place in the church. But not like it was in 46 to 47. Amen. Not through the nation of America. Amen. Other than that, the types in the Bible are wrong. He said the revival is all over. Amen. And before Elijah could call for the rain. Amen. Before one drop of rain could fall, Elijah had to do something. Amen. It just can happen. God could not tolerate Jezebel. God could not tolerate Jezebel's prophets. He couldn't tolerate it. Because he said, if there's idolatry in the land, no rain will come down from heaven. I tell you, the rain of God is the word of God. It's a doctrine of God. Gifts of the Spirit are in denomination. Don't get confused. But there is no revelation of the word of God to dress the bride of Christ. It is not there. Get your mindset right. It's not like that. It's something else. The gifts of the Spirit deal with your body, deal with your spirit, and we need them, that they'll never transform your soul and they will never turn your heart back. Only the Word of God can turn the heart back, because only the Word of God can reach that soul. It goes beyond gifts. Because it goes into the soul realm and turns it back. And that is not in denominations. And never will be. Amen. But thank God it's come to us. And thank God our hearts are being turned back. Our motives are not to build our kingdoms. Our motives are not to lift myself above my little brother, above my little sister who's just come to the Lord. But when believers come into the church of the God, living God, we ought to be making feel like they've been in church for 50 years. Not sit down, not sit down. Rather, they need to sit down. But we shouldn't make them feel like that they're inferior to us. Brother, when I listened to that prophet's tapes, brother, I felt like I was a son of God. I didn't feel that I'd just come out of the world. I felt like I was a son of God. I felt like I was living in heavenly places. Amen. Super anointing on the seventh step. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Like I said, don't get confused. Gifts are good, but they'll never turn your heart. Gifts are good, but they'll never turn your heart. They make you look. But what you're looking at. Brother down there in Egypt, they had big man-made pyramids. Big man-made obelisks to pharaohs. Amen. Brother, it's an exact identical thing. Hallelujah. Brother, in the promised land, they built a tabernacle for the living God. Hallelujah. Because God wanted to dwell amongst them. God didn't want to stay in heaven. He wanted to come down and dwell amongst his people. So God took Moses. He said, look around, Moses. This is my house. This is where I live. This is what I like. Amen. This is what it's like in heaven. The prophet of God, Moses, had to see what heaven was like. So he could start building a place that God was pleased to dwell amongst. Brother, God showed Moses his interior decoration. He showed everything to Moses. He says, Moses, build this on earth. And if you build this after the book, I'll come down and I'll dwell amongst my people. Because I don't want to live in heaven. I want to be my people. Brother, God took the prophet and let him walk down the corridors of heaven. And he said, don't miss it. It's sublime. Amen. The only thing that can live there is divine love. Amen. Brother, he showed us the conditions that God can only dwell in. Because that's the conditions in heaven. Amen. My precious brother. My precious brother. My precious sister. My precious brother. My precious sister. Amen. Brother, what are you looking for? Brother, these types, these shadows can never fail. Amen. So Moses said, this revival can't come. Elijah said, this rain can't come unless I call for it. No way. He said, I know who I am. I know that there is no messenger to this generation except me. I don't care what they come. I don't care if there's a Korah. Whoever comes along. Amen. You'll never get into this promised land unless you line up to the word that I've given to you. Because the word that I've given to you never came from me. It came from heaven. Amen. Brother, we can't build anything other than what this prophet said. Build. It won't work. And that rain can't fall. Amen. Before the rain could fall, Elijah had to do a few things. Amen. It's looking like I'll preach about an hour then. God willing, I'll preach something else another day. Hallelujah. But I probably could preach this, but I'll keep you till 12 o'clock. But it's like Elijah, he had to set the stones in order. Before the rain could even fall, he had to set the stones in order. Before the rain could even fall, he had to challenge. He had to stand there and challenge. He had to challenge every one of Jezebel's prophets. He had to challenge every single one of Jezebel's prophets because Elijah knew that Jezebel's prophets had to be slain before that revival could come. Jezebel's prophets had to be slain. It took the king's sword. It took the very word which came from heaven. Hallelujah. And where did he do it? He said, baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jezebel's prophets were slain. He preached the truth of water baptism. Hallelujah. Jezebel's prophets were slain. He preached the truth of the Godhead. He preached the truth of the serpent seed. He preached every truth in the Bible. What denominations I contaminated. And Jezebel and her prophets were slain. Brother, you have to come out of every mindset. Every lie in denomination. Everyone. And he slew everyone. Brother, I'm not waiting. Brother Branham in 1944, in Questions and Answers, he says, Brother Branham, this lady, probably come from denomination, needed not probably listen to all the prophet's messages, still bound in chains by Jezebel and the prophets. Mindset completely wrong. Amen. Just keep going over them tapes. Keep going over them tapes. Renew your mind. Hallelujah. Renew your heart. Hallelujah. Brother, them tapes. If Brother Branham said every scripture in the Bible speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. If you're listening to the messages and it's doing something other than producing in you a love for the Lord Jesus Christ, what's your motives for listening to them? Hallelujah. Are you listening to them tapes to get closer to God? Are you listening into them tapes that you can be that you can beat your brother down with knowledge? That you want to have more knowledge than somebody else? Or is it because you love the Lord? Is it because you have a revelation of what's took place? Then if you have, And you're going to that tape. And you're listening to that tape. Amen. Because you realize how much that man loved God. And you want to love God just exactly like that man. And you're saying, show me. Show me. It has to be in his words. Amen. 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 Get the truth. Listen. It may be a while before I come back. But you get the truth. Amen. The first thing you do, start hacking down people from denomination about water baptism. Oh, I'm going to tie them up in knots. Brother, what's your motives? Brother, your motives for actually listening is wrong. Brother, you must have an inferiority complex beyond this this world has ever known. That you want to esteem yourself above other people. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Brother, these tapes bring you to God. And when you tell these people about these tapes, it's with one motive, to bring them to God. Amen. Jezebel's prophets. Amen. God slain. Every one of them. Over 350 in one room. If I'm wrong on my doctrines, show me. Brother, scriptures and types and shadows are fulfilled. In 1944, amen, this sister comes to Brother Branham. And she says, Brother Branham, when's the latter rain coming? He says, he said this, Brother Andrew, this is what he said. Questions and Answers, 1994. He said, the rain's over. You've missed it. When? Oh, I'm not going to go through all the scriptures, but by God's grace, if you want them, brother, I'll give you all the notes to this. But if you ask for rain, in the season of rain, he'll send you a bright cloud. Amen. And that bright cloud is a cloud full of thunder. And it's that and that. And we know that rain comes from heaven and it represents the word of God. And that was the latter. Where's it gone? Where's that cloud? There. That is where it rained from. And in 1944, he said, there's no more rain. The rain is over. But that rain produces a manifestation in its season. Bride season. Not go into it all. Amen. Oh, thank God all Jezebel's prophets are slain. Brother, before Brother Branham had to deal, amen, with every doctrine that was false. Amen. Before that rain could come. Because we receive the former rain, the planting rain. I'm not going into it where he says Billy Graham planted a seed, Oral Roberts planted a seed, and the pure word has been planted too, and it will produce a bride. But there's two rains. One's a maturing rain. That rain calls forth the sons of God. The seeds in the promised land. I don't want to get that complex or deep into things. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. After the Elijah slew all, hallelujah, amen, the doctrines of Jezebel, amen, he marches up to an hill, to a mountain, and he says, I see a cloud. And that cloud's like a man's hand. And he got all excited because there was another Ephesians coming. There was an original fivefold ministry coming now, because the prophets had to be slain first before you could have another Ephesians. How can you have another Ephesians if you don't know the truth about water baptism, if you don't know the truth about the Godhead, if you don't know the truth about serpent seed? What sort of fivefold ministry would that be? We're waiting for things which have already taken. Why? Because Elijah and Moses said, it's not going to be like anything that you've seen before. Anything. Anything in denomination. Amen. Anything. It goes beyond that. Amen. Five manifestations of the spoken word was never seen in any denomination. But there's a process. Hallelujah. Let me try and start now. Let me take my jacket off. I didn't want to take my jacket off, but I've got sweating. Hallelujah. Oh, very good. Hallelujah. Let me use this now. Start 15 minutes now. Then we'll go. It's been an hour and I haven't even got to a note. I hope that people aren't too tired. I would stop now. At least if I preach my message now, at least you've had some message and some things to chew over. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm excited. Because only one man could produce another Ephesians. Only one man could prepare a ministry. Amen. To carry that bride, that word, go into the world, call out the bride. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. This baffles me. It just baffles me. That what they're actually expecting, you know, when it's clearly laid out in the message. It used to really baffle me before God showed me as well. But I didn't have to go to Bible school. I just had to keep reading the message and finally, and live the Lord. And finally that revelation, oh, it's that simple. It's not complicated. Hallelujah. Where's my glasses? Right, iPad now. God bless you, saints. We shall begin. God, help me, please, Jesus. Hallelujah. Now I've got to preach a message that I preach at a convention in five sermons in 15 minutes now. Amen. But I feel confident that you've heard from God at least before we start. Amen. My precious brothers over in Africa and India, they know I'm totally unorthodox. Amen. I can't help it. I was only waiting. Well, the brother put the brought me the iPad, and somebody just pulled on me a little. Hallelujah. Right, God bless you. I'll go through this in a very brief way. I was speaking to Brother Andrew. He said that this subject also he was looking at. And Tommy confirmed the message before we left. So we put the can I put the first slide up? Slide one, I don't know what I'm doing here now. Then we'll begin. I'll encapsulate it. It's all in note form here. I'll stop in 20 minutes, if that's all right. And forgive me if I've gone. Don't say that. I'll think I'm in Africa. At least I'm not preaching in the morning. We have another guest speaker. But, Brother Andrew, I don't know what they're looking for on that super anointing. They've made it too super as far as, I don't know. Brother produces a God in flesh, Jesus Christ. Somebody who will do nothing outside of the word of God. Somebody who will submit completely to the word of God. And somebody who will do nothing but glory and honor to his Father. You saw it. Not here. Not me, I'm a work in progress like everyone else. But you saw it in the prophet. I never seen someone. No one's humble like the prophet. Yeah, it's because where he was stood. We're getting there. Brother, and we ain't going to say anything else. We're just going to stick to what he brought. There's nothing new to come. The reign's over. Brother Branham clearly said, 64, the reign is over. There is no more doctrine. There is no more word to come
I brought it all.
Amen.
It poured out of that cloud. That bright cloud containing thunders.
Amen.
Amen. And by God's grace, I don't know if this is right or not, but this is how I'm seeing it, or I'll say it lightly. A portion of the king's sword has been given to each fivefold ministry, and they're slaying some of the prophets of Baal in the church, and another brother's got another portion, and he's slaying some of the... Is this setting us free from Jezebel's mindset? Being transformed by the renewing of our minds. What is transforming? It's a butterfly. Amen. It can never go back to a caterpillar. Amen. I can never go back. I heard the eagle cry. It transformed me. It changed me. I can never go back. I can't change back. I've been transformed. Amen. That's what transform means. Cannot go back. Been completely changed. My heart has been changed back to the original faith. Are we here now?
Yes.
Understanding signs. Right. Hallelujah. It's happening again. I'm going to encapsulate this now to you. And if one of the brothers in the church feels to pick it up at some point and share it, or take my notes, take the PowerPoint and share it, or I know Pastor Andrew could do a thousand times better job than what I ever could do. He's far, far more gifted. We respect him so much. The Easter Convention in Brother Crosby's, everyone speaks about Brother Andrew. Amen. So we thank him for the ministry that he's given him. And when we're struggling sometimes to bring things to our congregations, we just say, oh, you know, God, could you bring Brother Andrew across, or could he make some tapes on this subject? And just break it down, because we want people to understand. Amen. Right. I'm not going to get into my subject. I can see it right now before I begin. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 12, verse 2. I've even now just been pulled right off. But we'll get there. And it's 10 minutes. I'll close down and say, God bless you. Thank you so much for coming out. I'm so sorry for doing a poor job and not preaching to you tonight. But over an hour is gone. So something has been said. Oh, blame Africa. Amen. But I know we live in the United Kingdom. So I'm going to just encapsulate a few things. And say, Brother Andrew's got the PowerPoint, the things was on his heart. I'm sure he can make more sense out of it than what I can. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this shall be unto you the beginning of months, and it shall be the first month of the year unto you. Let's bow our heads. Gracious Heavenly Father, we recognize that you are present in our midst right now amongst us.
Amen.
And Father, that you are speaking to us, Lord. Father, time, Lord God, is far spent. And Father, the rest of this service, Lord, I commit into your hands, Lord.
Amen.
Father, I don't want to wear your people out. I don't want to keep them longer than what is necessary. And Father, I feel that much has already been said, Lord. But Father, in the remaining few minutes, Lord, this help me, Lord God, to say something to your bride, Lord, that would be a blessing and would be an encouragement, Almighty God. For I ask it in the mighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. This is exactly where time begins. Brother, there was a Babylonian calendar. There was an Assyrian calendar. We probably had calendars, a Druid calendar. But God Almighty came down and He said, "This is my calendar."
Amen.
Amen. This is where Israel begins counting from. Amen.
Amen.
And it was given to the children of Israel by Almighty God.
Amen.
We have the Gregorian calendar. And the Gregorian calendar was given by Pope Gregory. Amen. And right away, we must know if a pope got involved in a calendar, that calendar must be wrong.
Amen.
It has to be off.
That's the truth.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. It cannot be used for a measurement of time. Amen. Every week name is named after a pagan god.
Amen.
Every month is named after a pagan god.
Yes.
Every holiday on that calendar is a pagan calendar. Because it's not God's original calendar.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
And the children of Israel started to mark their time and their season from an Exodus. And every time that there is an Exodus, there's a new calendar. Brother, our calendar, knowing or not, what we're kind of moving on starts in is AD and BC because there was an Exodus. The Christian calendar is supposed to be rolling around or pointing back to one specific time, an Exodus time. And if it's an Exodus time, God says, you mark this and you count from this time.
Amen.
Is that not true?
Amen.
Amen. For the bride of Jesus Christ, 1963 is the time we start counting from.
Amen.
There has to be an Exodus. There has to be a time where God says, I am no longer here. I am now calling an Exodus people out. I have toiled. I have labored. Amen. And time starts. So we have something in the Bible. We have a starting time. Amen. Brother, I'm going to shut in 10 minutes. Amen. Because I can't get into this. There's too much said and you're too wonderful. And Andrew's such a good teacher that you can just go on for hours and hours and hours. And the people love the Word of God. I'm sure at Tommy's it'll be completely different. Different anointing, different people. Maybe people will get stamping on the floor and amening. Amen. So I just want to plug in to what God's doing. It makes it easy. Amen. That's part of the missionary work. It's to fit in. Amen. Be all things to all men. Otherwise it's this striving. You bring different gifts down. You need them, your blessings. But maybe you're not a missionary. I'm a missionary. So I just do what missionaries do. Amen. I eat what other people eat. I dress the way other people dress. And I try and talk the way they talk. Amen. And get my point across. So if I can get my point across through a teaching, I'll get it through a teaching. If I can get it through more of an evangelistical message, I'll get it shouting and screaming. Whichever way that the people are accustomed to. Amen. When I'm in India, you'll think I'm Indian. When I'm in Africa, then sure, I'm a Malawian person or Kenya or Maasai. They call me a Maasai warrior. Maasai. Amen. Hallelujah. So I'm doing that. So you find that
there has to be an absolute starting point that we start counting from. I'm closing in 10 minutes. 5 minutes. I really have to. I feel people are getting tired. I'm conscious. I don't want to set the world record for the longest preaching in this church. Their records, I were good for my youth. Amen. That's exactly what the pastors said in Africa. I said, "How long do you want me to go for?" He said, "No, we'll see by God's grace." Amen. Otherwise, some other ministers will get worried about inviting me. Amen. They're there taking me to the office and leaving church order quotations. Leaving church order quotations. Go to slide. Sorry, is it this one? Slide 46? It's slide 46 on this. Have I done something on... Okay. Okay. It's all right. I've still got lots of energy left. There we go. I can't see it, so I have to look around here and see it. We know that, you know, in 2008, the subject that I'm about to try and get into is when the Lord first put it upon my heart, but I never felt to really speak about it. When I think it was 2010 or 2011, I started to preach on the pyramid. Brother Andrew did at the same time, but my leaning was a slightly different, same revelation. But there has to be an absolute starting time. And Brother Andrew, you can correct me on this, but They found two score lines here, right at the beginning. The only two marks in the pyramid. And these two marks pointed up to the stars. I think it was Pleiades, the seven sisters, and another star alignment. And they found out the absolute starting date. So even in the Bible of stone, God gave man a time to count down from. Amen. So if you want to look in the gospel in the heavens and the gospel in the Bible, there's always a witness of an absolute starting date. But what I noticed when I started studying the Bible in stone, and I know you're very familiar with it here because Brother Andrew's preached it, and Alpha Draconis and all them things. Let me go to the slides right now. Is that? Brother Branham, there we go. Brother, I'd already these things. I didn't steal it from your PowerPoint. I'd already was studying it the same time you were studying it. This little bit, the gold and the granite, you helped me out on. But, I've gone too far. This, I'm not going to be able to use the airplay, which is probably why I started speaking by inspiration. Stop. Turn it off, please. Brother, come and turn this airplay off for me. It's all there. Unfortunately, I don't know how to use it too well. This airplay is beyond me. So we'll start. But there's an absolute starting date in the Bible, a calendar where we can start counting from. There has to be an absolute. There has to be something, and an absolute. The only way you can have an absolute is recognize that it's an absolute from God is that it's beyond man's control. So this is why, you know, when I studied the pyramid, this is was my inspiration, because after preaching on the pyramid, I was going to preach on the gospel in the stars. I'm going to stop five. When it gets to 22, I'm stopping, but I've started if I don't get any further. When I got when I was studying this pyramid, the Bible in stone, I noticed what Enoch was doing. Enoch was taking the revelation of the gospel in the stars. Like all these channels and all these markings point to the heavens. Point to the story of the gospel in the stars. And he started writing them down in the gospel on earth. He met an earthly witness, and that pyramid, it never had a cap on it, and the pyramid represents the bride of Jesus Christ. Because the capstone is Christ himself who comes to cap off the church at a certain season, at a certain time. And Brother Branham said, look how they bend and stoop, marking out the walls. And he says, where are we now? Plumb across the king's chamber. He's letting us know the time is running out. We're not at the beginning of time now, but from an absolute starting point of the calendar dates. That them... two score lines is where they started counting from. But they didn't know where to start counting from till they got near into the prophet's chamber. And the prophet showed them in the prophet's chamber, Enoch's chamber, that lump, I forgot what, that pyramid inch was there. And it wasn't until we come into the season and the prophet come on the season that we knew exactly what time we was in. And he could go back through seven church ages and show and laid it all out. There was an absolute starting time. God gives us an absolute starting time to start counting from. Then in the gospel, amen, in the pyramid, it shows us that we are now at the end of time. And one thing that I noticed about the gospel in the star, it was a heavenly voice. It was the gospel in the stars that Enoch was hearing, and he produced an earthly witness, and it takes a voice from heaven. Amen. It takes a heavenly voice to produce an earthly witness of that heavenly voice. The pyramid is a perfect representation. Amen. Of the capstone. Hallelujah. It's a perfect representation of an heavenly voice. Amen. Oh God. Help me, Jesus. 3 minutes. Hallelujah. I'll finish. You've had good things. And so what I noticed. Amen. That there was a gospel in the stars. And there was a message going on in the stars and going on in the heavens. So I looked at the message of the hour. And by looking at the message of the hour, we could understand or have a greater understanding or the greatest understanding of the pyramid that any other generation has ever had before us. There's 78 pages of quotations just about the pyramid. All mysteries are finished. There's nothing hidden. We had a prophet in this generation that understood the stars. That understood the. He said, you're born under a certain sign. You was born in a certain place on earth. That put you in a split condition. He understood that heavenly voice. In 1962, he said there's an alignment of five stars. He said, what does it mean? Amen. He said, three stars when Jesus Christ was on earth. Amen. Perfection. Three is a number of perfection. It's five, he said, is a number of grace. He said, what is it? He says, power. Amen. Grace has now come upon the bride, but she's in her infancy. In 1962, he said the bride was here, but she's in her infancy. And that's the way it's been. There's always been a bride, and the bride has always had a ministry, but the ministry has never been a mature ministry. It's been a ministry growing. Amen. Hallelujah. And God himself in Revelations, I'm closing on this. God himself in Revelation, in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14. Amen. He said, I set the stars. Amen. In the heavens. Read it. It's your fault you pulled me off my notes right at the beginning. Don't look at me. It was you. Amen. In Genesis 1 verse 14, he says this, and God said, let there be lights in the firmaments of the heavens to the dividing of the days from the night, and let them be for signs and be for seasons and be for days and be for years. Amen. So God somehow, amen, he didn't put then things in the heavens. Amen. Hallelujah. Not just that we have warm weather in Africa. Amen. Not that we just like crops growing all this and the other. It's not even mentioned. He said he put it there for one specific reason. For a sign.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. And that word sign, amen, is not really correctly translated. It comes from the word moedim. Amen. It's the word moedim, and it's the same Hebrew word used for feasts. In Leviticus chapter 23 or 22 verse 3, these feasts, you know, Pentecost, Passover, and all these things. It's the same word. And that word there is divine appointments.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So when these signs in the heavens, amen, God signals, amen, it's God trying to catch our attention. We know the prophet was born under a sign.
Amen.
He died under a sign.
Amen.
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 And he witnesses it in the heavens, just like he witnessed that cloud in the heavens for a sign.
Amen.
But this is specifically relating, amen, to the sun and to the moon. When Israel set their calendar, unlike any other, like the Muslims have a calendar. And the Muslim calendar is based solely upon the moon. But the Bible said, let both of them be for signs and for seasons of the days and the weeks. So you need a calendar that's based upon the moon and based upon the sun together. Because it's in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Israel based their calendar on the sun and the moon. Amen. So we know that their calendar is accurate. Amen. Because it's set by God's heavenly calendar on the sun and the moon. So it can't go out. Amen. You can't, brother, go and move me the sun. You can't even fire a missile at the sun and move it. You can't fire a missile, amen, and move it. Because it's an absolute. It's beyond man's control.
Amen.
There was one man called Joshua. And it wasn't the end times. Amen. And he was in trouble. And God had respect for him. Amen. Because he was in trouble. And he wasn't going to let his son fail.
Amen.
And whatever his son said would have happened. Joshua could have said, let a ditch open up. and let them be swallowed. Joshua could have said, let them, all the armies be turned to frogs. And there would have been. But Joshua, in his panic, he said, let the sun stand still.
Amen.
And God went, what is my son doing messing with my clock?
Amen.
The spoken word, amen, hallelujah, is only really reserved to the end time where we have a full knowledge and understanding to exactly what God wants. So we're only going to speak exactly what God wants. So he had to get another son called Ezekiah, amen, who got into another trouble. And he asked God for a sign, and he said, let the sundial move back 10 degrees. And God reset his calendar. Because he doesn't want his times, and he doesn't want his seasons messing with the signs.
Amen.
The Bible said God gives, he lets us know the end right from the beginning.
Hallelujah.
He gives us signs way in advance.
Hallelujah.
If we're driving down the motorway, and you're driving like one of the brothers beginning with R, you don't want a sign. Could be Robert. Could be somebody else. Especially my friend Robert. He does this. Believe me. We fly in the air when he's driving. Then he slows down after there's nearly an accident. And so you don't want a sign on the road. Bridge collapsed 30 meters before the bridge. When you're driving at 95 miles an hour. Amen. You want plenty of warning. You want to be warned way, way, way ahead in advance. And God, in his mercy, gives us his warnings way, 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 way. He declares the end right from the beginning, right in the book of Genesis. It shows us that if you don't line up with exactly what his mind is, he has no respect for your religion. Then he'll cast you out of the Garden of Eden. He puts it in the types. He puts it in the shadows. And he lets us know right from the beginning of the book exactly what he wants. He wants a people that will line up with his mind.
Amen.
And we only can get it by revelation. It's warned. Don't try anything else. And we sit here. Seems to be a long time. Why things tarry? Brother, what kind of God do you want? Do you want a God, when you get saved, he lets you know that there's an immediate coming, the end of the world. It's not good, you know, and you've got to get ready. You want plenty of time. What do you want? Do you want to get up to, sister, do you want to get up tomorrow and your mum and dad turn around and say to you that you're getting married? Get your dress on. We're going to the church. You want plenty of warning.
Amen.
And God in his mercy gives us plenty of warning.
Amen.
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 It's, oh goodness, let me read Acts 2:20. I'll close on this, brother. Some brother said an hour. Brother, quit speaking the word. It's not the time for the spoken word yet. Somebody say stop the preacher. Not another hour. Start the preacher. There we go. Too many sons of God in here. Acts 2 verse 20. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the great and notable day of the Lord. Amen. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, he shall be saved. So God uses these things in the heavens to declare that the end of time is running out. They're there. Just like we know now that when we read the message of the hour, we're at the end of time. When we read the pyramid, we're at the end of time. Amen. That God uses these signs and these wonders and these things in the heavens to declare to us that time shall be no more. Amen. It is the end of time. Amen. Amen. Is that not true? Amen. So you've got a witness of three things going on that we're beyond excuse. But what we have, like I said, He gave the children of Israel a watch. The feasts of Israel. A watch. Something that they could keep time to. But there wasn't just keeping that time. There was now trying to synchronize that time with that time. So when something was taking place in the heavens on the feast days, God was declaring that there's a divine appointment. Get ready. Amen. I want to meet with you. I'm going to meet with you exactly. It can't be just every Passover was a rehearsal. Till one day, the signs in the heavens would line up.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yes.
And they would synchronize. And the children of Israel would realize that it's now in the mouth of two witnesses. Get ready.
Amen.
When Jesus Christ died, there was a blood red moon. There was a synchronization.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's the truth. I haven't got time to go into all this. Maybe forgive me for complaining. God is having it, I'll have His own way. So we're finding that these two signs, God has declared in His word, when the moon turns to blood, when the sun turns to darkness. Brother, the moon's been turning to blood all the time. The sun's been turning to darkness all the time. But it hasn't been lining up with God's calendar. It might be lining up with the Muslim calendar. It might be lining up with Pope Gregory's calendar. But is it lining up with the Jewish calendar? So when it comes with God's calendar, it's watch out, get ready. Something's about to take place.
Amen.
Amen. Glory to God. I'm capitulating this, and Brother Andrew, by God's grace, whenever he feels led, he'll phone me up and teach me some things. It's a very strange thing about to take. I would want to tie it in with 63 and the Jubilee, but I haven't got time. Forgive me. Something is taking place. In 2014, what is a blood red moon to begin with? A blood red moon is a lunar eclipse. And when there's a lunar eclipse, the moon turns to blood. When there's a solar eclipse, the sun darkens out. But these things must take place on Jewish feast days. Then you've got a signal, and you've got a voice, and you've got a divine appointment, and you've got a warning from heaven that something is about to take place. In 2014, at Passover, the moon turns to blood. In 2014, at the Feast of Tabernacles, the moon turns to blood. In Nisar, 2015, there's a solar eclipse. In 2015, at Passover, the moon turns to blood.
Amen.
Amen. It would be slide 20. No, 20, not... sorry, brother, I'll let you get there. There we go. And in 2015, at the Feast of Sukkot, which is Tabernacles, a Jewish feast, the moon turns to blood. It is a warning, it is a sign, and it is a signal from Almighty God. It's two witnesses. Brother, has these things ever taken place before in history? In 1948 and 1949, the exact same occurrence happened. It happened when Israel became a nation. When the UN declared Israel is a nation, it happened. In 1967 and 68, it happened again. When Israel in the Seventh Day War, it was a time of great persecution to Israel. It was a time where something was going to take place in Israel. Amen. And God sent that warning. And God sent that signal. And no matter, amen, people didn't know about it then, but it happened. It's only happened seven times in history. And each time that it's happened at a significant point in Israel's history. In 1492 and 1493, at the Spanish Inquisition, when Israel was given 2 weeks, the Jews was given 2 weeks, either become Roman Catholics or get out the country or you die. It happened again. It's a signal that there's a time of great trouble about to strike the world and specifically Israel. Brother, time is running out. It never happens again this century. Never again. But Brother Andrew, I'll show you 2017 sometime and show you how it all lines up with the pyramid. It's on the PowerPoint. You can check it out yourself. History conclusively declares that every time this happens, something major takes place to the Jewish people. Now the church types, Israel natural types, the church spiritual. Amen. Hallelujah. Is that not true?
Amen.
There was such a persecution of that Spanish Inquisition. King Ferdinand, and I can't remember, Queen Isabella. Amen. They slaughtered thousands of Jewish people. The Jewish people at that time were seeking to escape Spain. And they paid extortionate amounts of money to escape, to get out, to flee for their lives. They would get on the ships, and the people, the ship owners, were so convinced that the Jewish people was hiding money that they slit open their stomachs looking for wealth, then dumped them in the sea. Amen. Brother, every time it happens, there's persecution. And that same year, Christopher Columbus discovers America. Christopher Columbus was a Jew. And he was looking for somewhere. And that America became a safe haven for the Jewish people for a very long season of time. Amen. There's trial and persecution taking place. Amen. It's like I said, in AD 232 and AD 233, the same phenomena takes place. In AD 32 and AD 33, there was global economic collapse to the elect of God. The Jewish people was completely and totally dominated by Rome. There was a global economic collapse in Israel, dominated by Rome. The same conditions was taking place. Exact. Amen. I don't know if there's... I know Brother Andrew was preaching on Wall Street and all these things. I don't know exactly what's going to take place in them 2 years. But something according to history and according to the Bible, amen, something will take place. You talk about a coming judgment before the great and terrible notable day of the Lord, these signs will take place. Brother, time has run out. Brother, if you want to look to the pyramid, Brother Andrew will show you in the pyramid the coming judgment, time no more, in the sense that it's time to get right. I'll show you what the Bible and the stars declares God's judgment. Without Malachi 4, declare God's judgment. Without 3 witnesses declaring God's immediate soon coming judgment, we've had plenty of time, amen, warning, amen, to get right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Israel in the same condition. I don't know if it'd be economic collapse. I don't know what will take place, but it'd be something. And it will cause a condition. And the thing about it is, the elect of God was on earth. They looked up, I'm closing now, that I've encapsulated things and I've gone on far too long, forgive me. But the elect of God looked up and they saw the blood moons. And I can show you the same conditions. Brother Andrew's shown you the same global conditions. They was in the same conditions. They felt the squeeze. They felt the pressure. They were seeing the warnings in the heavens falling on the Jewish feasts. But the elect of God had one question. The elect of God knew that these signs was there, but they wasn't interested in them signs. I don't see anywhere in the Bible where any of the disciples said, "Are you fulfilling Passover?" I don't see any of the disciples in any of the Gospels saying, "What do these blood red moons mean?" But I only hear one thing. Because there's a sign that every elect of God looks for, amen, before the coming of the Lord, or for the coming of the Lord. And they cried out, "Where is Elijah?"
Amen.
Amen. The elect of God knows that there is a sign coming, and there's a sign in them. There's something in them looking for a sign. Amen. Because it's only that sign and no other sign which is going to get the bride ready for Christ. Before Christ come, there must be Elijah. Brother, I tell you right now that every denomination will preach this. Brother, I won't even be surprised if Rome preaches it. But brother, that sign... and some man behind the pulpit telling me that the Lord is coming isn't going to get me ready for the rapture. Brother, I know the sign that I'm looking for. And I found that sign, Brother Andrew. And that sign was a sign of the coming of Elijah. It's the last and final sign. There's no other sign. There's nothing else to come, brother. There's nothing else to come. There's no other sign, and by God's grace, we've had that sign for many years. Brother, we didn't get that sign 5 minutes ago. Brother, the bride's had that sign for a long time, and that sign pointed her to Christ. Amen. Brother Andrew, he was a friend of the bridegroom. Amen. He had the wedding garment. It was the Eliezer to bring us to Christ without the sign. Brother, if the Lord is coming, my question in closing now is, where is Elijah? Brother, you'll find this plastered all over the internet. And the preaching, Andrew, where? The preaching, the coming of the Lord. Repent and get right. The Lord is coming. But I couldn't care less about that. And I couldn't even care less about the Jewish feasts. I've seen my sign. Brother, we're looking for nothing else. Those divine mystery truths transform our inner being, transform our soul right back to the faith of the fathers. Brother Andrew, come and close. And Lord, have mercy for hacking up two messages. There's no other sign. Brother, Wall Street could crash, but he ain't going to get you ready for the rapture. That message that is on them tapes is the only thing which was sent to get you ready for a rapture, to get you ready for the coming of the Lord. And there is nothing else. Brother, the rain is over. That rain produces maturity in the bride of Christ. That's what Azusa Street never had. It never had maturity. When it's babies. And by God's grace, in 1962, the bride was a baby, but she's no longer a baby. A baby goes, she tries to, when a baby speaks, it's goo, goo, goo. There's no language. But now when a mature person speaks, we understand. It's coming to maturity now. Amen. Brother Andrew, close me, please. Forgive me. Amen. God bless you.
Since let's stand. Let's sing a song there, Brother George. Let's sing that song. What's that one, Brother? The seventh peak. On the summit of the seventh peak, yeah? Amen. 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 You know, it's really interesting how it goes. At the beginning of Brother's message, it was, you know, it's strange how the Lord does these things. You know, you find out that Brother Alan, you couldn't get your slides working and that. And then Brother Alan hit into a certain channel. And it was exactly what we needed, brother. You don't realize it, but that first 45 minutes, that first hour was exactly what we needed. You know, I know sometimes we can feel we need to put more, but brother, it was wonderful. When you got onto Elijah, when you got onto the two rains, when you got onto the slaying of the prophets of Jezebel, that was just wonderful stuff. And I really do believe that was the real message the Lord wanted us to hear.
Hallelujah.
It was wonderful. It was a good time. We do thank the Lord. Let's sing this song before we come to a close.
Coming from the east,
coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow trout are gathered by a shout for adoption on the summit of the seventh peak. We have seen the Lord in the fulfillment of His word. He promised through the prophet to return, to ride the trail again, to reveal His new name, to teach His bride to prophesy again. Hallelujah! Coming from the east, oh, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. On the summit of the seventh peak, we are Mount Zion in the secret place by the sovereign grace of our Lord. The city on a hill whose glory can be hid, will man
from the south. Oh, the rainbow trout. Oh, I got the pie. Oh, for a
adoption on the summit
of the silver peak.
A rainbow covenanted one
in the Joshua Commission testifies she's turned at the waist with the authority for her mistress. Oh, and she shall speak from the summit of the seventh peak. Oh, hallelujah, coming from the east, coming from the west, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow trout gathered by Joe for adoption on the summit of the seven feet. We sing a brand new song. We are the blessed watch throng. We've seen our names beneath the seven seas. He's opened up to us all her mysteries. And there is light on the summit of the seven feet. Oh, coming from the east. Oh, coming from the west. Oh, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow shout, oh, gathered by a shout, for adoption on the summit of the seven peak. All things are ready now, Father, let the fire fall. Father, glorify thy name. You did it once before, in the life of Malachi 4. Now, Father, glorify thy name again. Coming from the east, oh, coming from the west, oh, the west, coming from the north and from the south. Oh, the rainbow shouts, gathered by a shout, corruption on the summit of the seven peaks.
The prophet preached a message called a true sign that's overlooked. Now there's many other signs, and the prophet said that he says people look to the heavens, and like Jesus said in his day, he says you look to the sun when it's sunset, it's growing red, and you say tomorrow shall be like this and tomorrow shall be like that. He says you understand the signs of the skies. And friends, it's true what Brother Alan's saying. These things are all over the internet, and God put them there, but people don't really understand what they really mean. But to us, there's such a confirmation of what God has already done. Amen. Everything is just a vindication, and the message just unfolding itself. And it's such a wonderful thing for God to testify in different ways of something which is already testified through the true sign that's overlooked, which is a prophet. That's the real true sign that God gives of judgment. But it's always a sign that's overlooked. Noah was a judgment sign. Moses was a judgment sign to Egypt. Jesus coming was a judgment sign that it was the end of the Jewish age. John was a judgment sign. That's a real true sign that's overlooked. But friends, what did we do for our eyes to be opened? It was nothing but the grace of God. If it wasn't for Calvary, it wasn't for the blood, if it wasn't for his mercy, if it wasn't for predestination, if it wasn't just for his unfailing goodness, where would we be? We wouldn't understand what these things mean. But I'm so glad today that we know where we stand. We know who we are. You know, we know how late it is. And may God continue to help us to understand. Let's sing one more song. Let's sing, He Knows My Name. Amen. He knows my every thought. Maybe Brother Rock, you wouldn't mind closing for us in prayer after that, right?
I have a Maker before my heart, before even time. In his hand. He knows my name. He knows my every thought. He sees each tear that falls.
catches me when I call.
Oh, I have a Father.
I have a Father.
Oh,
He calls.
Brother Alan, if you wouldn't mind, when you get back to Halifax, greet Brother Raphael, the saints there from us. And please come back whenever you get a chance, whenever the winds of the Holy Ghost blows you our way. We'll be so glad to see you again. We do really thank the Lord. And to all the saints, traveling mercies to the saints as they go back up north. May the Lord be with you. Meet you tomorrow by the grace of God. Amen.
Turns us back. come and drink of this rock. You will never thirst again. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, he that hath an ear, he that hath an ear, let him hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Never fear, never fear. Come and drink of this water. You will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, come out, come out. Come in, come out. Turns us back. Come and drink of this water. He will never thirst again. The Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, God's voice, voice is calling from heaven. Come out of her, my people. Be not partakers of her sins. The sins have reached heaven, God's is her iniquities. Oh, Spirit and the Bride say, God. Oh, come out, out, come in, come out. Turns us back. Come and drink of this water. You will never thirst again. Spirit and the Bride say, come. Oh, the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Spirit and the